Well, friends, a very happy Sunday to all of you. My name is Father Greg Gerhardt. I'm the vocation director for the diocese. So it's my privilege to be able to go throughout the diocese, visiting different parishes and promoting vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And it's a great joy to be with you here at St. Louis this morning to celebrate Holy Mass. In the gospel today, we have the account of a miracle, a deaf man whose ears are opened with Jesus' ministry. Ephphatha, be opened. And when Jesus performs miracles, we see throughout the Gospels, yes, there is a physical miracle that happens, and there's also Jesus' intention to point us to something deeper. We can remember the man who was a paralytic who was brought before Jesus, and he says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And the people who were there started to grumble, saying, who but God alone can forgive sins? And Jesus hears their thoughts, and he says to them, what would be easier, to say to the man, your sins are forgiven, or rise, pick up your mat, and go home? But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home. And the paralytic is healed. It's a miracle. We can see what Jesus was about when he accomplished that miracle. He was pointing us to his ability to heal us from within, to cleanse us of our sins, to forgive us, and bring us into deep communion with God Almighty. And so today we have a man who is brought before Jesus who is deaf. He cannot hear, and Jesus opens his ears. He fulfills the prophecy that we heard in the first reading. And yet this ministry of Jesus points us to something deeper, something interior. This very same word is the word that the priest to this day says at baptism. You bring a child for the font of baptism, and after he's brought into divine life, he blesses him in the ears, says, Ephphatha, be opened. Gives the child a blessing in order in due time to hear the word of God and follow wherever he leads. Friends, you and I are still in need of our ears being opened by the grace of God, by his blessing, in order to hear his voice and follow wherever he leads. It's a grace that was given to us in baptism, and a grace and a blessing that's deepened through life, through prayer, through love, through sacrament. More and more our ears are opened to be able to hear the voice of God and follow wherever he leads. That is the foundation, that is the heart of a vocation. A vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which simply means to call. Jesus calls out to each of us to follow him. I'll share with you just a few of my favorite passages where we hear this call. The first from Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. That's the call. But why? I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus calls us to follow him in order to bring our hearts to rest. Listen to him speak this same message from a different gospel, this one from the Gospel of John. I came that they might have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. Jesus' desire that we might have life and have it to the full is what motivated every single word that he spoke, every single miracle that he worked, and every single drop of blood that he shed. He is the good shepherd that goes out and searches for us, even when we have settled for things that leave our hearts restless, even when we have settled for sin. There are lots of cheap thrills that the world can offer, but they always leave us longing for more. They always leave us restless. St. Augustine said it perhaps better than anyone else in our tradition when he said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Jesus calls us to follow him in order to bring our hearts to rest, in order to give us life and life to the full. That's what we were created for. That's what he calls us to, nothing less. The calling that the Lord Jesus gives to each one of us is a calling to settle for nothing less than life to the full, to allow him to bring our hearts to rest. And for some of you, that calling may lead to the priesthood. For some of you, that calling may lead to religious life. Now, I've been a priest for 5 years now. I actually said my first Mass of Thanksgiving in the chapel right over there here at St. Louis. I've been a priest for 5 years now, but I first heard my calling when I was 14 years old. I went to a Catholic camp called the Pines in East Texas, and I had an absolute blast. We sang lots of songs, we played lots of games, we also praised the Lord, we studied the Bible. And towards the end of that week, my counselors encouraged me to do something that I had never done before. They encouraged me to pray in silence. Now, I had grown up Catholic. I knew my prayers and I said my prayers, but I don't think I'd ever prayed to the Lord from my heart in silence. In that moment, it was only 5 minutes, but in those 5 minutes of silence, the Holy Spirit came over me and gave me a deep peace, a great joy, and a burning desire to give him my whole life. I felt called to be a priest. And that calling remained with me. It remained with me for all 4 years of high school, remained with me for all 4 years of college. It remained even when I wanted it to go away. It remained, but I didn't have the courage to answer it. So there I was in my senior year at Texas A&M. I was speaking with my spiritual director, sharing with him that I just didn't have the clarity that I would like in order to enter the seminary. He began to share with me some advice, saying, well, it's probably time for you to start looking for a job. After all, you're about to graduate. And as he was giving me this advice, I interrupted him, and I said, but when I think of growing in holiness, and when I think of picking up my cross and following Christ, I think of the priesthood. And again, just like at the Pines, the Holy Spirit came over me. I walked into that room terrified, and I walked out fearless. The Lord gave me a deep peace, a great joy, and a burning desire to give him my whole life. I felt called to be a priest. So I entered seminary after I graduated, and thanks be to God that I did, because these past 5 years of being a priest have made it so abundantly clear to me that God created me for nothing less. He created me to be a good shepherd. He created me to give mercy in the confessional and life to the full in the Eucharist. He created me to give the greatest gift imaginable, the gift of God himself. This is my body, this is my blood, which is for you. When I, as a priest, say those words, Jesus fulfills his promise to each one of us. I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Friends, this is what God has wanted for me from all eternity. But my brothers, might it be what he wants for you? Might he be calling you to be a priest? Might he wanted you from all eternity to be a good shepherd, to give mercy in the confessional, life to the full in the Eucharist? Might he wanted you to say the words, this is my body, this is my blood, which is for you. My sisters, might he be calling you to be his bride? Might he be calling you to religious life, to show each of us an image of what we all seek in heaven, someone perfectly given over to the Lord, receiving his love? Might he be calling you to be a religious sister? My brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. God wants nothing from you. He wants everything for you. He wants life to the full for you. And if he's calling you to the priesthood or religious life, it's because this is the way that he wants you to receive life to the full. He knows you well. I know well the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for your woe, plans to give you a future full of hope. Jeremiah 29:11. My brothers and sisters, he knows you well, and he created you for a purpose. He created you to receive life to the full and bring your hearts to rest. So take heart. Open up your ears so that you might hear the call. He's given you the grace of baptism so that you might hear his voice. So take courage and follow wherever he leads. Now, moms and dads, I want to say a word to you as well. I want to encourage you to be open to the will of God for your son and daughter. I'm going to share with you a beautiful tradition of giving gifts, these gifts that a priest gives to his mom and dad on the day of his ordination. So when I was ordained 5 years ago, right after Mass in that chapel there, I gave these gifts to my mom and dad. To my mom, I gave what's called a maniturgium. This is a piece of cloth that's used to wipe the sacred chrism from the hands of a priest who was just recently ordained. So when Bishop Vasquez consecrated my hands with sacred chrism, this cloth, this maniturgium, was used to wipe the oil from my hands, and to my mom, I gave that maniturgium. And to my dad, I gave the confessional stole with which I heard my first confession. So these gifts, along with the custom of being buried with them, so when my mom and dad pass away, they'll be holding in their hands the maniturgium and the stole. This tradition and this custom has led to a pious story that I want to share with you, and it goes like this. When a mom and a dad of a priest pass away and go to their final judgment, our Heavenly Father will say to them, I gave you my only begotten son. What have you given my church? And they will show the stole and show the maniturgium and say, we too gave you our son. Now, when I told that story on the day of my ordination, it was waterworks, right? Right? Tears of joy and gratitude for all the ways that my mom and dad have supported me. I wouldn't be able to be here right now laying down my life for the church had I not seen it done every day at home, my mom and dad laying down their lives in love for one another and in love for their children. So moms and dads, I want to encourage you to be open and supportive of the will of God for your son and daughter. There might not be anything more important for their ears to be opened, for them to hear the voice of God and follow wherever he leads, than your support. And if that causes some hesitation, some concern, I think you are in good company. Right? My mom and dad hesitated and were concerned when I first told them that I wanted to be a priest. And I think it's because they're good mom and dad. And they want their son to be happy. And they weren't sure that the life of a priest is a life of happiness. But when they saw me in seminary, even within just a semester, especially now that they've seen me a priest 5 years, their worries and concerns are gone. And it's a great joy, blessing, and even a healthy sense of pride to have a priest in the family. Imagine the joy of receiving the bread of life from the one that they gave bread and life to in the first place. So moms and dads, please be open and supportive of the will of God for your son and daughter. Now, finally, I want to say a word to all of the parish. I want to encourage you to pray for more vocations. And Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, he looks out on the crowd and he sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd, and he feels compassion in his sacred heart. He feels compassion as he looks out on the crowd, and the very next thing that he does is say, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, so ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. He's asking us to pray for more vocations. Now, when he asks us to pray, it's not as if somehow he needs our prayers, right? He's all powerful. He doesn't need us in any way. He could call men to his altar to be priests. He could call women to religious life to be his bride without our help, but that's not how he wants to do it. And for the perfect example, we can look to Mary. Did God need Mary in order to become man and save the world? The answer is no. He's all powerful. He doesn't need us in any way. He could have become man and saved the world without the help of Mary, but that's not how he wanted to do it. He wanted to become man and save the world specifically with the yes of Mary, with her help. When she said yes, she allowed God to fulfill his will exactly in the way that he wanted to do so. And the same goes for vocations. Could he call men to his altar and women to religious life without our prayers? Yes. But that's not how he wants to do it. He wants to call men to his altar and women to religious life because we have asked. And when we ask, we become like Mary. We allow God to fulfill his will exactly in the way that he wants to do so. So friends, please add this intention to your daily prayers, that God might call more men and women to the priesthood and religious life, even especially from this parish, that God might be glorified to answer our prayers for this intention so that we won't be like sheep without a shepherd. Now, friends, as we turn our attention now to the liturgy of the Eucharist, we remember the grace and the blessing that we received in baptism, the grace of Ephatha, be opened. He points us deeper than just healing of a deaf man. It points us to the grace of being able to hear his voice. He calls to each one of us to follow him in order that our hearts might be brought to rest, in order that we might receive life and life to the full. The life to the full that he wants for us is in this Eucharist. So let's open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to be able to hear that voice and follow wherever he leads.